Please take special note that this episode of Petty Crime South Africa contains descriptions of unlawful behavior so graphic that we needed to hire an actor to portray the role of one of our victims. Listener discretion is advised.
Car had been broken into, glass everywhere, wallet gone, flash drive gone, but there was a mysterious piece of paper on the back seat.
Nobody can ever tell me they've been through a traumatic experience until they've had to clean another person's excrement from the car.
Violence, armed robbery, assault, hijacking, all words too common in the South African lexicon. So much so that they cast the spotlight away from indiscretions that go unnoticed, lurking in the shadows of society's most pestilent underworld. I want to meet the forgotten victims of heinous acts of inconvenience. Join me, a professional amateur sleuth, as we try to solve the cases that plague ordinary hard-working people and also trust fund beneficiaries. And maybe we can close this chapter of trauma on their lives. My name is Phil DeLange, and this is Petty Crime South Africa.
In this special episode of South Africa's most groundbreaking true crime podcast, we will hear accounts of incidents so heinous that one of the victims was too traumatized to be interviewed. Based on careful investigations, I was then able to get a recount of their story through the help of a specialized actor. But first, we bring you an incident that needs zero investigation, as the criminal involved helped solve the crime through their own negligence. Or so it seems.
It was a woman who broke into the car. Usually think of it as men.
One does usually expect a crime such as a car break-in to be committed by a man. But I choose to remain open-minded to the idea that both men and women can use nail files to break into cars. That wasn't the case here, however. This particular criminal chose brute force to break into Ashley's car.
We had been out the night before for a really big night, so we weren't really thinking clearly, weren't on our on it. So I think my boyfriend at the time left his wallet in the car, and I left a couple of flash drives in the car, and we went inside to have a nap. When I came out, the car had been broken into, glass everywhere, wallet gone, flash drives gone, but there was a mysterious piece of paper on the back seat.
This mysterious piece of paper would turn out to be an actual paper trail to the perpetrator's location. But what could it have been? A literal map, maybe? A suspiciously rolled up 200 rand note indicative of somebody living in Cape Town? Or perhaps a receipt from Clicks for a recently purchased nail file? No.
That was some parole papers. It had the thief's name and ID number on it.
So were you then able to track down the thief using the parole papers?
Yeah. I took the parole papers to the police station and I reported the car break-in. And then they tracked her down and they arrested her. Yeah, I got the wallet minus some cash and the flash drives back.
Do you know what was on the flash drives?
It was actually some varsity work of mine. It was kind of half a thesis. But I had backed it up, obviously.
Is there a chance that maybe the thief used the flash drives on her own computers and then might have put a virus on there?
I guess she could have. Or she could have plagiarized my thesis.
Now, is that something that worries you?
I mean, I would have been really upset if someone got good marks for my work.
Were you aware of any other crimes that this person had committed while they were out on parole?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, it didn't actually state what they had done. I think it had their release date from prison and, their name and their ID number.
Do you remember how long they had been out of prison?
It was like a matter of days, eh? It was like 2 days.
Straight back in.
While this crime seems to be solved, my petty crime investigative instincts were buzzing. I have a theory that could uncover a deeper criminal network of plagiarist hackers. But first, a moment of remembrance for all broken car windows. While on the surface, it would appear that Ashley was a victim of her car being broken into, I couldn't help but think that the criminal's recapture during parole seemed too easy. Would someone out on parole really be so careless to leave her literal identity as an existing criminal at the scene? Here's what I think. It's entirely possible that the criminal broke into the car and intentionally planted her parole papers on the seat. Maybe she planned it all along. Months before the break-in, she could have committed a crime with the intention of getting out on parole to then find Ashley's car, break in, steal her flash drives, and plant malware on to hack into the mainframe of Ashley's particular educational institution and then have access to a plethora of dissertations, theses, and data. People who are obsessed with obtaining knowledge are described as having epistemophilia, and thus I conclude that our particular parole paper planting thief was actually an epistemophiliac hacker. We now turn our attention to Jenny. Jenny is not her real name. There are times when a crime is too traumatic for the victim to revisit. Jenny's story is one of those, and I've hired an actor to portray her in the following special edition bonus story called The Turd in Makanda. Makanda is a small town in the Eastern Cape of South Africa, home to Rhodes University, thousands of students, as well as intoxicated people. Some of these intoxicated people really like to leave what can be best described as an impression.
In Makanda, someone broke into my car, smashing the window, and upon discovering there was nothing inside to steal, they took a dump on the passenger seat of all places.
I find this to be absolutely horrifying. Of all places, the passenger seat. I, for one, prefer the dashboard, as it is easier to clean. Hypothetically speaking, of course.
Car discovered at 10 a.m. the following day. Midsummer, with warm, baked, smelly poo awaiting.
Makanda generally has a moderate climate, but in summer, temperatures can easily reach in excess of 30 degrees. Not the most ideal temperature to find feces in your car. Surely Jenny took the car to a valet shop to have cleaned.
I did, but in Makanda there was only one at the time, and they refused to clean it. So I had to drive from my house to the car wash with a human turd as a passenger, then get turned away and drive back home with a human turd as a passenger. Nobody can ever tell me they've been through a traumatic experience until they've had to clean another person's excrement from the car. It took 2 whole months for that smell to fully leave my car. It felt like the longest 2 months of my life.
The most shocking twist in any story that I've had to cover was that Jenny had been given the most successful anti-hijacking device in history.
On the plus side, though, I didn't need to worry about anyone breaking in for a while. You have no idea how good human poo is as an anti-theft device. I mean, no one was willing to drive with me or be a passenger for any reason. It was only me and the remnants of the human turd passenger.
If you or someone you know has been a victim of petty crime and need my investigative skills to help, please commit a crime, get out on parole, write a message to me in invisible ink on the parole papers, break into someone's car and leave the parole papers there intentionally so I can get your message. Petty Crime South Africa is an All Ears FM production. I'd like to thank our actor, Vanessa, which is not her real name, who played the role of Jenny, which is not her real name. Today's episode was produced by Phil DeLange, edited by Phil DeLange, written by Phil DeLange, conceptualized by Phil DeLange. Petty Crimes South Africa. Real people, petty crimes.